Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. And now, Star Fuentes.
Good evening. Last week we looked at soul contracts and how they affected us and what was set and fixed and what was firm and what wasn't so firm. Today I would like to talk about the universe that we live in. The universe that we experience, soul and body here on planet Earth, is a universe of yes. If you say something, spirit guides, source, angels, all work for you to have that. And most importantly, whatever you say at the end of the day, the most of, if you say bills, bills, then tomorrow you're going to get bills. Now, today I want to look at vows, and especially obsolete vows. When you're in a body and you say forever and ever and never, that means lifetime after lifetime. And never also means lifetime after lifetime. Most of us make unintentional vows in our current life. I'll never love again. I never want to feel like that. I hope I never hurt like that. And our spirit guides and our angels agree with us because that is a command that we have given. So when you say, I'll never love again, and it's 14 years later and you haven't had a date, but you forgot that energize, that very intense emotion that you sent out with that vow, I'll never love again. So at some point in time in most people's spiritual process, we come to a point where we have to recognize that we've had past lives, and we have to recognize and be accountable for our thoughts and actions. So what happens is you have vows that you have created through thought, through word, through deed. So, for example, I'll always love you. I'll love you forever and ever. Now, how many lifetimes do you really want to be married to this person in different bodies? Interesting. But most importantly, a lot of your vows were commitments. They were promises. They were formal, informal. They were oaths. They were pledges. They were religious, or even when you win a battle, I'll protect this country forever and ever till the end of my life, yada, 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 or for eternity. So all along through our past lives, we have made vows. Emotions impact these vows. Now imagine if you spent 6 years studying to be a monk and then you got to stand up there and say your vows. And your vows are, forever I will live in poverty, just eating what I need, just speaking to whom I need to speak to. I'll live very modestly. I'll be a hermit. Or being the bride of Christ, being a nun, where you promise to be the bride of Jesus forever and ever and ever and ever, ever anyone else. These vows can and do get in your way this lifetime. After you've reached a certain state of awareness and after you've done a lot of work on yourself, you realize that there are certain patterns, that there are certain situations that keep coming up over and over again. And as deep as we look into our subconscious and we look back into our psychological experiences of this lifetime, that we cannot get any rhyme or reason to why these events occur or don't occur. So through the many generations that you have lived, you have made vow after vow after vow. You've had marriage vows. You've had vows of silence. You've had vows of poverty, vows of anger. And you vowed that your children would always eat before you do. And you vowed to give away all your possessions. And you vowed to love everyone. And you vowed to do things without understanding, comprehending, acknowledging that when you do make a vow, it goes through the generations of bodies that your soul inhabits. So when we go to remove our vows, we are breaking, we are getting rid of the limitations that we have set upon ourselves and others when we made these vows. You limited your freedom. You've done many things from a point of protection, from a point of commitment, from a point of serving leader, king, or queen, and from a point of anger. I'll never speak to you again. I'll keep that secret forever. So as you become into this great place in your enlightenment and your consciousness begins to understand that you are accountable lifetime after lifetime for your energy. And this is a planet that says yes. And whenever you say something, think something, and especially if you got a nice, big, juicy emotional charge, or 4 years of studying, or 7 years of being in the military, or 10 years of promising people something, these vows are set. So we have to look at the impact that these vows have on us. And what happens to these vows in our personal consciousness? What happens to I'll never speak to you again? Well, you'll meet that person in a new body. And if your vows are made from fear to never love again, your vows are outdated culturally, outdated by the world that we live in. Sometimes you are limited, you are slowed down, and you become stopped and neutralized in your living pattern when you come subconsciously faced with your vows. Like the vow to live in poverty. Very interesting. Maybe you have a ceiling. Maybe your ceiling is $1,000. And every time you collect $1,000, the carburetor breaks, the refrigerator needs to be replaced, the children need dental work, and that vow of poverty has an edge on it that whenever you get to having just a certain amount of savings, they disappear. You co-create those things in your life. So, let's look back. How many vows do you have? How many commitments do you have? Promises do you have? Oaths that you have? To be the victim, to be the martyr, to retaliate, to never love again? They may not be alive in your consciousness, but they are definitely alive in your soul. And once again, there's something like you're just humming along, feeling successful, and you come unconsciously face to face with a vow, and it's like throwing a grenade in your life. You know, you don't get that contract. You never get through that door because that vow is so active in your energy field. And anytime you do cross those vows, you have a feeling of guilt, of shame. You have low self-esteem. And what happens is that many, many families are gathered together with vows they had taken together in past lives. So what happens is your lineage and your family are all working together to become conscious of the vows that is in that particular bloodline. You know, all of these vows make marks and dents and holes in our energy field. You know, sometimes when vows are set, let's say a vow not to speak in a monastery, sometimes when it's really important for you to speak, you get it caught in your throat, and sometimes you don't have a voice. Or maybe when somebody asks you to do something, there's a big weight on your shoulders. Or in a past life, you have knelt down to so many things that when you give in to something that's incorrect, inappropriate for you, your knees start experiencing difficulty. You know, these vows can manifest physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. They can manifest in your love life. They can manifest at work. They can manifest in your bank account. So I want you to take a deep breath. And I just want you to be very centered and grounded. I want you to tune into your energy field. And think of things. Think of what your parents said to you. You'll never have what you want. You're not going to grow up to be anything. Money is the root of all evil. If you work hard, then you're going to make money in the same breath. So what happens is you love your mom and dad so much, no matter when you're young, no matter what they eventually do to you, done to you, you love them unconditionally. And those beliefs become part of your vows. Now, to be centered, be grounded, be connected, I want you to look at your life. I want you to feel your life and listen to yourself in your past. Did you vow never to love again? Did you vow never to let something happen? Are your vows kind of twisted? There are no good men out there. Just say that enough times. This is the planet of yes. And you'll be right. That's what world you'll live in. And check your energy. Check your energy. Is it hard for you to date? Is it hard for you to be successful? Do you shut yourself up in your apartment or house and never leave? Or hardly ever leave? You have a vow of cloistering, staying inside. And how many times you said, I'll always be angry when blank happens. I'll never speak to them again. Just look at your now time vows. And I'm going to take a few minutes to read through some vows. And I just want you to check out to see if you have them. To see if you've had them this lifetime and maybe you've outgrown those vows. The vow of staying indoors or never leaving your home. The vow of giving most or everything away. The vow not to appreciate anything in life. Vow to gossip and find wrong with others. And some of us even have vows to keep all of our old vows alive. There are vows where you lie randomly. You want to be free, so you're never going to always tell the truth because that's part of your freedom. Vows to the priesthood. And how about the vows to steal unimportant little things where centuries ago you needed things, so you casually picked up things that nobody would notice was missing. And you're still doing it this lifetime. How about the vow to control others? How about the vow to always be lacking and be in poverty? What about the vow to destroy? Man, you don't have to destroy houses or cars. You can destroy people's reputations, and you can destroy other people's relationships and dreams. Starvation vows. Vows against source. Vows against spirit. Vows to take power. Vows to have low self-esteem. And, of course, that vow to create no relationship so you'll never get close to anybody. And you say, oh, people just don't like me. I never can talk to anybody. And then there's that good old vow to struggle to survive, where we never have our own house. We're always sleeping on somebody's couch. And there's our good goody-two-shoes vows. Vows to be the overachiever. Vows to be the wife of Jesus. Vows to incarnate constantly. And then there's also the vow you give in. You don't care. Somebody says, where do you want to go eat? Whatever. When there's a fight, you'd rather not speak your truth. You'd rather have peace. So you give in. And then there are vows to be weak and vows to fail. So you can say, see, I told you I couldn't do that. Vows to let emotion rule your life. Vows to self-destroy. Vows to sabotage yourself. And then vows to stay in fear. And at, 12 o'clock at night, you're peeking out your curtains to see if someone's outside. Vows to protect. You're 68 years old and your 48-year-old son is still living at home and not doing anything, and you're still protecting him. Vows to never love again. Vows to question God and source. And my favorite vow to help people rescind is the vow to always be right. Would you rather be right or would you rather be happy? Vows to hurt yourself. Well, it could be everything from slashing your arm with a razor blade to saying things that jeopardize your reputation to not eating. Oh, goodness gracious, I guess alcohol, smoking, and all those drugs would come in there, too. Vows to steal for a living. Vows of silence. Vows to never lead. And one of my least favorite vows is vows to stay in denial. Vows of time limitation. And I hear it over and over again. I never have enough time. Wow. Isn't that a big vow? Vows to underachieve. Vows of self-punishment. Vows to waste time and energy. Vows to never grow up. 56 years old. You're still buying toys. Your kids need shoes. And he had a motorcycle and a skidoo, but the kids don't have clothes. Vows of obedience. Vows of giving away your power. Vows to always be at war. And, you know, I see many, many a person who was a soldier in past lives or past lives come in, and the next thing you know, they're against the tuna industry because of the dolphin. And then the next thing you know, they're against war and not for peace. Vows to not be accountable. Vows to have no energy and vitality. I'm always exhausted, I hear people say. I'm always exhausted. What a vow. Vows to punishment through taking and keeping bad jobs. Vows to block your creative force. Vows to block education. Vows of entitlement. Vows to be lazy. Vows to enjoy your own suffering. Vows of addiction. And you're addicted to something, you give it up, and you become addicted to something else, and you give it up, and you become addicted to something else, and you give it up. And maybe you're not addicted to your original thing for 30 years. Vows not to be a healer. Vows not to use your intuition. Vows to always be a student. Vows against ever marrying. And then there's a vow where you're not going to let any marriage last your whole lifetime. Vows to kill yourself before you break a vow. A little serious there. Vows to constantly create a negative environment. Vows to be a drama queen. Vows not to live in one place. You're running. In your past life, you ran from somebody. And you moved and you moved and you moved. Three lifetimes later, every 2 years, you move and you move. Vows to be ill. Vows to be codependent. Vows to reclaim patterns. Vows to block energy. Vows to be self-centered. Vows to always be the follower. Vows to hurt your family. Vows to never talk. I'm never going to talk to one of my family members again. They hurt me. They didn't listen to me. They don't understand me. A vow to be constantly confused. Vows to never decide. Vows to never change. I'll never change. I like the way I am. Vows to be against something all the time. And here is a new one for us. Vows to always be stressed. I'm always stressed. There's so much stress in my life. I have stress all the time. I've been stressed forever. Vows to be crazy. Vows to make possessions more important than people. Vows to be the family caregiver. Vows to always stay beautiful. Vows to hoard. Vows to create chaos. Vows of anger. Vows to not speak your truth. Vows to not be grounded. And vows not to feel your emotion. And one of the most important vows I think we have is the vow to hide your light. So we've listened to some vows, and my next book is called Vows and Cords, and you'll be able to do some very intensive work coming up. I gather insight later on in the fall. But if you want to find out how to revoke these vows, you can email me at starfu@aol.com. starfu@aol.com. So let me tell you a little bit about removing or revoking these vows. And you might not have a pencil there, and you might not be able to get the exact words right now. That's why I offer to you to get this for free by emailing me. So, signs of a patch life vow are, you used affirmations, but the pattern's still persistent. You're acting in ways which you know is not in your best interest. And you do things that do not make sense to you. I've seen people who've had the vow, I'll never be hungry again. And I've seen them sit in front of a TV and eat a whole bag of Oreos and a bag of potato chips after finishing three meals that day. And they're vowed to never be hungry again even before the hunger happens. That vow says, ooh, look, food. Maybe I won't get it this lifetime because you didn't get it past in your past lifetimes. So the goal is to break all the energetic holds you have from these vows. Of course, you have to recognize the vow. You have to acknowledge that you may have it or something very similar to it, as I read through the list. And what we do is we just kind of say a prayer, and it's, in the past, I made the vow of, and whatever the name of the vow. And we got to show gratitude for that vow. And I have learned much from this vow. Yet in the present and for the future, I realize this vow now no longer serves me. I now release this old vow from my energy field and my consciousness at all levels, as well as all the limitations it has created in my life now. I ask my guide to bring new energies into my life. I embrace the needed learnings that I have achieved, and so it is. So basically, you need a prayer, and this prayer, first thing it does is, number one, it acknowledges that you have the vow. Number two, that vow protected you from starvation. That vow protected you from feeling pain when you broke up with your boyfriend. That vow protected you to keep your religious or your vows to serving as a warrior. You have to acknowledge the vow. And say it served you in the past. You must say, for now and in the future, this vow no longer serves me. Then you can go on with your little prayer and say, you know, I'm conscious of the lessons I got from this prayer. I remove it from whatever you want to remove it from, your energies. If you want to get a little bit more detailed, your chakras, your subtle bodies, your aura, your life. And then ask your guides and angels to bring new energies to fill the places in your bodies where these vows were. So as we're looking at that, there's a long list of vows. Vows are made with forever, always, and never. They usually have an emotional charge, or years and years of going to school, or war, or studying in the monastery, or years of being hurt, or feeding your starving children. You have past life vows, and you have now time life vows. To rescind or remove these vows, you must acknowledge the vow, show gratitude for the vow, show gratitude for the lesson, and fill the space in your energy field where the vow has been removed with new energy. You can call in your angels, you can call in your guides, you can call in your favorite ascended master. You can write your prayer, or you can email me at starfoo.com, and I can send you a copy of this prayer. My next book will be on vows and cords, so that's starfoo, starfu, at AOL.com. Think about it. review the highest energy moments of your life and the lowest energy moments of your life. See, feel, and listen. How many vows did you make? And are you ready to get rid of these vows? So take a deep breath. Good. And review your life. Now review what you worked on and couldn't resolve. Good. So take a deep breath. And write down those vows so you know what to remove. I strongly suggest that you remove each vow individually. That works a little bit better than trying to clump in 30 or 40 vows. And writing your own little prayer for removing your vows may be the best thing. Or maybe you want to come and get the one that I've written. So that is a little bit about vows and how they affect our life. And if you want to call me in the next half hour, and I will be answering intuitive questions, the phone number is 646-716-9663. And I will be willing to talk to you, and you can ask me questions about whatever you want.
Okay, we're getting ready to go to break.
And good. Take a deep breath, and here's break.
You're listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Star Fuentes is a master intuitive healer and spiritual teacher and has been a pioneering student of metaphysics for over 50 years. She has learned lifetimes of priceless information from her years of seeking out and living with indigenous healers and shamans around the world. Visit her website at www.starfuentes.com and then join her here every Wednesday night on Spiritual Connections Radio as she shares her knowledge with you. Once again, Star Fuentes.
Hello, you're on the phone with Star.
Yeah, this is George down in Texas, and I was just wondering what Star thinks about aliens and whether we're visited by aliens, whether they're walking among us and stuff like that.
So I believe that aliens exist. I believe that we're not the only sentient beings in this huge universe. I believe that they also have certain laws regarding interference with the growth of a planet, with the emotional, spiritual, vibrational growth of a planet. And then when we reach a certain very good level, or we reach a not so good level, that they can will step in. I think that subconsciously, unconsciously, through channeling, through movies, I mean, look at some of the movies we've seen. From Yoda, you know, let the force be with you, to Harry Potter. Look at some of the movies that talk about, that teach us, that prepare us to be used to handling energies that we're not used to handling. I believe the aliens are out there. I believe there are aliens among us. And I believe that they know and have enough wisdom to know the exact perfect time for them to become public knowledge to all of us and to have us interact with them. Does that answer your question?
It sure does. That's some good food for thought. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Good food for thought. Thank you very much.
Hello.
Hi, Star. This is Lila.
Hi, Lila. How are you, sweetie?
I'm good. I wanted to know, these solar flares that are happening all the time now, what is the impact that it has on us?
Well, you must remember that most of our body is water. And we know from the police reports that on a full moon, more people are pulled to acting out. More people are pulled to being violent. Now, the solar flares do not work with the emotional level. They work with a higher frequency. They work with our crown chakra. And every time there's solar flares out there, all our unresolved issues, whatever we haven't looked up at in ourselves, comes out and appears in our life. And we're going, why is this happening to me right now? Or we start deeply being introspective and see, feel, hear how we're acting and being, and we raise ourselves to a new level of vibration. In the last couple of years, the amount of solar flares has been huge. Recently, we've had huge solar flares. Look, we're looking at the IRS. When did you ever think that would happen? Does that answer your question?
Yes, thank you, Star.
You're welcome.
Hi, you're on with Star.
Hello?
Oh, hello. Yeah, this is Wilbur. I was wondering, what do you think about the things that are going on in the world in the Mideast? You think that that has a bearing on what's going to be happening in the future?
Yes, I do. I believe that as above, so below. And we continually look at these external conflicts out there. And the heart of all religions, the heart of spiritual beliefs are in the Mideast. And we look at out there and we point a finger. I believe that we need to resolve our inner conflicts. That just as we see that Syria has bombs and fires, in my own inner self, there is things going on that are inappropriate. How am I being war, and how am I being love and peace? I believe that the earth is reflecting what is going on inside of ourselves. That most of us have this nice place that we talk nice and be nice, but we're so lonely, we're so hurt, we're so seeking God so strongly. We're loving with no place to give it. And our inner conflicts will be healed. And the world will heal with it. So, yes, everything you see on the news in the Mideast is a direct reflection of what's going on in the souls and in the hearts of most people. Please. Take care of your own life. And if we all just do that, then the world will be a better place. Thank you.
Hey, Star, it's Mark. I have a question for you.
Okay.
Lately, I seem to be in a place where abundance is not flowing freely for me. Now, I know I've done things like I've cleared vows of poverty and stuff like that. What else do I need to shift in myself to allow the abundance to flow more easily into my life?
Well, first of all, abundance is a very, very inappropriate word. So when you say the word abundance, God gives you what you have the most of in your life. So if you have bills or if you have worries and you pray to God and you say the word abundance, you're going to get exactly more of what you got. The universe is very efficient. First thing I do is say ask for cash. Ask asking for abundance. Do you have a lot of paying clients? Are you making a lot of money, cash?
No, definitely looking at some cash.
So right now you have to change your words. You have to change your thoughts. Do not ask for abundance. Ask for cash. Ask for paying clients. Abundance and prosperity are two metaphysical traps we fall in. Imagine if I had 8 clients tomorrow and the first one was a restaurateur and they gave me a meal voucher and the second one gave me a pair of shoes and the third one gave me the use of their second home, on and all day long. And at the end of the day, I might be $3,000 prosperous, but I have collected no cash. Because prosperity also includes the material things, the opportunities given to you. Most people ask for prosperity and abundance, but we have been trained since childhood not to ask for cash. Don't be rude, but that is the very thing we need. That is the very word, the very thought. We need to be magnetized to cash. You take cash, you turn cash into money. Money is my center. Money is things that I have to sell and stocks and cars. That's all money. I can't take my money and go and buy a sandwich down the street. And from our money, we make funds, investments. And once we have cash and money, we can then ask for prosperity and abundance. So very simple answer to that. Start thinking cash.
I definitely love that. It's really a refreshing approach to look at it from a different angle. Do you think that there is a correspondence between the type of clients you attract as an energy healer, as a spiritual teacher, compared to lessons that you have to learn? And is there anything to equate to the fact that I don't seem to be attracting a lot of students or a lot of clients because of the fact that I have done so much personal work?
Now I can look at that two different ways. I can look at that and say, wow, you've done so much spiritual work and you still have a body. You're not done with your spiritual work till you're dead. I can look at that and go, no, I don't think it's because you've done so much spiritual work. When you attract clients, you do something as a healer. You do something what I call medical school. And you will attract a bunch of clients who have a poverty issue and then a bunch of clients who have heart disease and then a bunch of clients who are codependent and then a bunch of clients. You, as you go through your learning experience as a healer and as a teacher, you will go through gaggles of people who have the same issue. You will learn as much or more from healing and teaching them as the client learns. I would say for you right now is that you'll probably need to be teach the teacher. You don't need to be teaching or healing or teaching the healers. You don't need to be teaching or healing the clients right now.
Thank you for that guidance. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, teach the teachers. Teach the healers. You know, I think you've done a lot of personal work, and you're still not done. So if you're trying to find normal people to teach, and if you're trying to find normal people to heal, you're out of your league. So you're going to have to go to a different vibrational league, teach the teachers, teach the healers, and that would then put you in a place where you would be attracting more clients.
Excellent. Thanks a lot, Star.
You're welcome. Do we have anybody else on the line?
Yes, you are on with Star.
Hi, Star. This is Elizabeth.
Hello.
Hi, I wanted to know when I was going to attract my mate.
Oh, my God. When was the last time you went on a date?
About 3 years, Star.
Okay, so I think you can't have a mate if you don't have a date. So, first of all, you're not going to attract your mate till you heal whatever issue it is, whatever vow you have, whatever is in the way. Were you hurt? Were you pissed off at the end of that relationship?
Yes.
Okay, so I suggest that you have to go back and heal that energy before you find a mate. Finding a mate isn't just like looking for a shirt or a top or a skirt at a store. What it is being able to emanate it an energy, a musical note, a vibration, a feeling that someone comes into harmony with, and they emanate back at you. And if you said you'll never love again, and if you say men piss me off, or I never want to be hurt again like that, that is the musical note. That is the vibration you're sending. So then you don't end up with dates for 3 years. So I suggest if you want to find your mate, you need to look inside and find out what it is and how you feel about mating, men, and dating so that you can have some dates and then you'll find your mate. Finding your mate will end up at your front door with a box of chocolate, roses, and an engagement ring. It's not going to happen that way. You will send out the vibrational call. The mate will hear it, and then the spirit guides and angels will do everything possible for you to meet. And right now, your call kind of sounds like, because you're still hurt from your last relationship. Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. Well, get a little bit more enthusiastic about that, or you might go for another 3 years without having a date. You know, let's do this work. You know, when we sit and wait, things don't happen to us. We have to take action steps. We have to ask. We have to pray. We have to look inside of ourselves. We have to feel it out. When you go, it's like, more years. So make a commitment to yourself to work on that now, and then we'll see a mate for you soon. Thank you.
You're on with Star.
Hello?
Hello, this is Star.
Hi, Star. This is Stacy. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How can I be of service, Stacy?
Star, can you give some tips and tools for helping to grow joy and keep vibration high?
Okay, so very first tip I'm going to give you is most people can't find satisfaction in their life. They're not grateful for what they have. They're not satisfied with what they are. To have joy, to have bliss, you have to be able to be very satisfied. You have to have some accomplished goals. Once you lay a foundation of satisfaction, a foundation of serenity, then joy, then bliss is real easy to step up to. But without being grateful for what you have, without being satisfied with who you are and what you're doing in your path is, joy and bliss becomes very inconsistent. You can't make it happen because the level of the foundation of satisfaction, that foundation of serenity isn't there. You can't call it. When you have a foundation of satisfaction, when you have a foundation of inner peace, serenity, you can call joy. You can call bliss at any given moment. So be grateful for what you have. Be grateful for what you are and set goals and work on them. That's how joy and bliss come easily.
Got it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
And
okay, you're on with Star.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi, Star. This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. Can you speak up a little bit?
Sure, I can speak up a little bit. My question is, since the Mayan calendar technically ended in 2012, have there been any other discoveries, or are the calendars that are in existence restarting?
Okay, so imagine that in December a baby was born when the Mayan calendar ended. How old would that baby be now? 5 months old?
Yeah.
So here we are, the Mayan calendar, birth of a new era, birth of a new energy, and we're standing in front of a five-month-year-old baby going, give me miracles, change my life, change consciousness. So the calendar's ending meant something, and the calendar measured thousands of years. So, you know, on the exact day, 3 or 4 months later, even 9 months later, for us to be saying, where's the fireworks? Where's everything? We have to realize that the energy that we step into has to mature. It has to grow up. That the Mayans measured centuries at a time and thousands of years at a time. So it's happening. It's happening right now. People are becoming different. Governments are becoming different. Life is becoming different. But it is such a pace that you barely notice from yesterday to today. But if you look back 3 or 4 days ago, you can see that things have changed. Well, in the 50s and 60s, you look back a year, and you can barely see that things have changed. So, yes, the Mayan calendar did have a huge effect on the energy. And once again, we have to be asked for the thing that we hate to give the most. And it's the P word, and it's patience. I waited for so many years for it to get here, and now that it got here, I have to wait for it to grow up. I think I can do that. Can you?
I'm going to try.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, Star, can you tell me a little bit about some of the events that you have going on as far as what you're teaching and what's available through your website?
Yes. At www.starfuentes.com, I have a list of events. On every Monday, I am on something called StageIt, and that is you can see me in person talking for about 45 minutes on different topics of things. And I teach about 500 different classes, so my topics fall into a wide range of categories, metaphysical, spiritual, self-help, inspirational, and next Monday I'm talking about embracing your connection. Monday after that, the patterns of life, knowledge and wisdom, and chaos in order. I do have the radio show. I have the Light Language Sacred Geometry Conference coming up in June, where people come from all over the world to talk about sacred geometry, and that's the 14th through the 16th. But most importantly, what I have is the capacity to use my intuition and the tools to give you to help your life. You can call me at 501-609-0660 and set up an appointment. I do as little as 15 minutes. I've been known to do a four-hour appointment, but that's a little taxing. I have some on MasterYourLight.com. I have a whole bunch of new classes coming up. I have a ministry that's called Direct Intervention, and it's for people who want to be educated ministers, where you don't just buy your certificate online by taking a 10-question true or false or multiple choice test. I have a great number of books, and most of my books are at gatherinsight.com. My books range from sacred geometry to many different things. I also have a book published by New Page, which won the best healing book of the year, called Healing with Energy. And this is a hands-on guide to techniques, and I have pictures of hands-on techniques from about 10 different countries. It's a very good book for you who have just started with hands-on healing. And it's also great for people who do hands-on healing because you get to learn techniques from all over the world. I do so many, many things. I think it's important to teach. For me, teaching is graduate school. When I looked up chakras for myself, I wanted to know all the pretty little colors and how many petals the little lotuses had. And then when I went to teach chakras, I looked up what sounds, what words go with the chakra, what's the Sanskrit, what's the other names for it. What would an engineer ask me? What would a housewife ask me? As you become a teacher and go back to educating yourself to teach something, you find that you cover so many angles and directions that when you're just interested in something, you don't get to cover. For me, teaching is about two different things. It's about the caught teaching and the taught teaching. And caught teachings are why we sit in front of masters. Your subconscious, unconscious mind understands 10,000 things a minute, while your conscious mind handles 5 plus or minus 4 things a minute. So when you sit in the presence of a teacher, you know everything the teacher has ever learned. You start absorbing that into the aura. When you become bright, when your conscious mind reaches a certain vibration and you become ripe, this information comes through your subconscious and unconscious into your conscious mind. So to prepare myself for the caught teachings, I do a lot of research. And I research papers and I research books and talk to people. And, of course,
Star. Can you take one last caller?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right, one last caller. You're on with Star.
Hi there. My name is Topher. How are you?
I'm good. What can I do for you, sweetie?
I was given your number because a friend of mine always tells me I should just call in and find out what you think. So I've been running into a lot of situations in my life where sometimes my life seems to work, but financially it doesn't. It's like I can do everything for the people, and I can do anything for anyone. And successfully that happens, but financially I'm always struggling, so I'm interested. I'm always giving, but it never comes back, so I get confused.
Okay, so first of all, did you listen to the show at all about removing vows? Two things I'd have you do. Remove vows, and I'd have you cut a cord. You can email me at starfu@aol.com, starfu@aol.com. I think you've been a priest. I think you've taken vows of poverty. I think that you can give, make sure the community is alive and well, but your vow of poverty or your vow of lack said that you don't need anything for yourself. Once you break that vow, I think you'll be able to get cash, maintain cash, save cash, and get jobs that create cash for you. I also think that know that you have a cord to someone. And this cord to someone is a cord that they're leeching energy from, and they'd rather keep you as a giver in your life than for you ever to be receiver, and that cord needs to be cut.
Cool.
Do you understand what a cord is?
I can guess.
A cord is an energetic
one
structure.
1 minute.
Yeah. It's an energetic structure created by having relationships or listening to somebody. It doesn't have to be a friend. It doesn't have to be a foe. It could be just someone who consistently repeats an energy that you have accepted over and over again. I got to ask you a question.
What's that?
What's your relationship like with your mother?
Oh, God, she disowned me. So.
She what? Yeah.
She's disowned me.
So I know the cord is this. The cord is to your mother. When that cord is cut, your cash will be available to you. And you know, it's just, I can see the cord, I can see the vial, and you know what really just irritates me? I've seen you work so hard. I've seen you give so much to other people, and I've seen you help so many people, and what just irritates me is so little comes to you. And
yes.
You just barely get what you need with very little room left for what you want, correct?
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yes.
Okay, so you need to look into cords and vials. Find me, talk to me. I'll spend some free time with you. We'll work on that together, and I'd love to see you change this energy around so that you
for
can
sure.
get something for yourself.
Awesome. Thank you. I've connected with you on Facebook, so hopefully we can talk more.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night, everybody, and thank you.
Thank you. Good night.
On behalf of Spiritual Connections Radio, thank you for listening to Stargazing with Star Fuentes. Please join us again next week for another enlivening episode. For more information on Star's classes or services, visit her website at www.starfuentes.com or call the office at 501-609-0660. That's 501-609-0660.